Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba. Yeah,
freedom. Live from Richland Campus at UW Richland Center. This is the Todd Alba Show for a Friday, December 2nd, 2022. We welcome you in. Thanks for being on location here with us and this very important program. We are talking with the group of the friends from the campus here in studio, or on location, I should say, at the Melville Hall, the Pippin Center. Dr. L.M. Pippin, a longtime physician, very philanthropic and generous with his money, gave a large donation to help build this beautiful facility. Another example of community support and involvement to keep this campus going. We are going to just tell you quickly the weather forecast for today. It's winter. Welcome. It's cold. It's going to be in the 30s throughout the state. Windy. So if you're driving a high profile vehicle, or if you're going to be out and about, maybe you have Christmas decorations that are just sitting out in the yard, make sure those puppies are tied down, because it's going to be gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour in parts of the state later today. So be careful out there. But no real major accumulations, maybe some drizzle down here in the lower part of the state, highs in the 40s, so it shouldn't be too bad as far as any precipitation. Freezing, Wausau, Amory, you could get some light snow there, but accumulations of less than an inch. So it's that time of year. It's the holidays, and it gets cold and windy and snowy, so drive carefully. We are going to skip the usual what do you need to know, because really all you need to know is that our good friend and fabulous person, Dorothy Thompson, is joining us via phone. Dorothy, I know that you have commitments to go to after 9:15 here, and we have another guest coming on as well. So I want to give you just another opportunity to pick up before the break. You were kind of telling the great line that this whole thing feels like kind of a breakup over text. And give us another thing that I thought was so important that you brought up. We're going to talk about this a little bit with our next guest, Kathy Sandeen, who was the chancellor of the UW Colleges and Extension, is this whole feeling, this whole thing being put out there predominantly by Republicans in the legislature, but also in Congress. It really is an attack on higher education. We don't need a degree. All educators are a bunch of liberal wackos. They're trying to brainwash our kids. And this is having an effect on how voters think, how community people are. And I think raising that point, I think was absolutely correct. Would you like to pick up more on that?
Well, just that, you know, when we talked about a rapid response team to an economic crisis, I would think our state senator and our area representative would be very concerned about this. And I have, just as a citizen, gone to their listening sessions, and I've brought up the topic, and I've really gotten it. I mean, Tony Kurtz thanked me and then asked for the next person to speak, and Howard Markline, the comment he made was, it's a listening session, and he wasn't going to answer any questions. It just seems like people who are supposed to represent us and our area would be more than willing to sit down and talk about how the problems can be solved.
I think you're absolutely right. And I want to make clear a couple of things. A, as I mentioned before, we did invite the UW interim chancellor from Platteville, Tammy Ivedovich, on this show twice. And she has politely declined that. Her representative, in fact, told me that she did not have plans to appear publicly in Richland Center or on our show until after the plan was completed for transition sometime by middle of January. And I very politely said, look, I'm not God's gift to the PR world, but I said, you know, when I worked for a large executive like Dale Schultz, a public figure, we always believed it was better to be there and take the heat as well as the accolades, because, you know, it just kind of shows that you care. And also, I think you might want to hear from locals on what they want to do with the plan before it's just an edict. And she said no. And I also want to be fair and say that I did not invite either Senator Mark Klein nor Representative Kurtz to the program today because I wanted today to focus on all of you and hear your thoughts. They are more than welcome to come on this show anytime. We will make room for them. I have no interest in having gotcha type of radio. I will give them a platform. They can state their case. Will I ask respectful and pointed questions because I think we have to have answers to? Yes, I will. But I agree with you, Dorothy. Why? I mean, I contacted both the mayor, Todd Copperdahl, and county board chairman, Marty Brewer. And again, they had to be the ones to reach out. You know, the elected officials weren't calling them, which to your point, Dorothy, it baffles me.
It just seems like they should be concerned. I mean, we have an economy that needs all the help it can get, and to just ignore something this important and not to help, I don't know. I don't know what it says, but it's disappointing to me as a citizen and a taxpayer.
Dorothy, you have about a minute left. I know you have to go. Any last thoughts you'd like to give us?
Just that I care a great deal about the campus, and I know a lot of people do, and we do have a petition asking for a meeting with Senator Mark Klein, Representative Kurtz, Jay Rothman, and Governor Evers. So if anyone is interested in signing the petition, all it asks is really that, you know, they sit down and talk with us about solving a community problem.
Dorothy, thank you. I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to go. Sorry, we're up against a break. Thank you. You're spectacular. Thanks for joining us. Stay with us more on the Tom Allball Show after this. Civic Media Radio Network for Friday, December 2nd, 2022. We are coming up on the time of 9:15 right now. We are live on location at UW Platteville Richland, specifically, or as I like to call it, the UW Richland. And we've been talking to friends of the campus here this morning as they discuss some of the things that they've experienced firsthand as former employees and also the friends of the campus and how kind of there's been a lack of response, not kind of a large lack of response, both from Platteville, from system, and from our state legislature. And also, I think it's important to kind of look at the history of this because one of the things that has been a public perception out there is that, well, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. Just a sign of the times. Just nothing you can do. Our next guest is so very special, and I deeply appreciate her taking the time, which she did not have to do. And this is an exclusive interview that I think will shed some light on really one of the things happening behind the scenes. We are joined this hour by Kathy Sandin, who is the president of California State University, East Bay, and she served as the chancellor for the colleges and UW Extension here in Wisconsin from 2014 to 2018. President Sandin, it's a little earlier in California. We appreciate you getting up and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Todd. Happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's wonderful to be here at Richland because I've seen all of my friends I've known my whole life, and there's a lot of great vibes and feelings here, but it's mixed emotion because of this announcement of the pending closure of this campus. I wonder, one of the things I wanted to focus on, you served as chancellor of the colleges from 2014 to 2018. And you and I talked a little bit yesterday, and I would appreciate if you would share with our listeners, when you were the chancellor of the colleges and Ray Cross had once served in that position, he was elevated to president. You kind of took over that position, not kind of, you did take over that position. You were charged with overseeing the colleges. So could you explain, you're an accomplished individual. You've been a successful administrator before and after being here in Wisconsin. Tell us and our audience what you did and what sort of a plan you came up with when you looked at this when you were chancellor.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, for the opportunity. And I definitely, I'm not here to criticize or judge, but just reflect on my own personal experiences and observations while I was there. So when I got the job as chancellor of UW College as an extension, I was extremely proud, proud to come to the state of Wisconsin and be part of the remarkable University of Wisconsin system, and especially the UW colleges, the community-based campuses, the access for citizens from all over the state to be able to enroll and participate in the University of Wisconsin. You know, this really was the Wisconsin idea in action. This is a value, an idea, a concept that is so appreciated throughout the country, and I was really happy to be part of it. But once I got there, I was looking kind of, you know, under the hood of the colleges, and I saw some kind of dangerous trends emerging. And it didn't affect every campus equally, but it definitely, these affected UW-Richland, and I also call it that. And I can just see that beautiful campus right now in my mind.
We appreciate that.
Remembering it. Yeah. So, you know, of course, demographics have been mentioned. That cannot be understated. If you have fewer high school students, you're going to have fewer potential college students. Also, you may not realize this, but the technical colleges kind of went out of their original mission and started offering the lower division transfer curriculum. So they were in direct competition with the UW colleges. So that reduced the enrollment at those campuses. Another trend that I noticed was that the four-year UW campuses, other than Madison, started to recruit UW college students after the first year. So instead of allowing those students to earn the associate degree and accumulate 2 years worth of credits before transferring, they really kind of cannibalized those students from the UW colleges, and that also reduced enrollment. During the Trump administration, of course, fewer international students were allowed to come into the country. And as you pointed out, UW-Richland was really a center for international education within the colleges, and that drastically reduced. The rise of online education, which provides a lot more options for students wherever they are, really affected enrollments as well. So there were a lot of things that were occurring at that time that kind of could predict some problems down the line. Now, as you know, the regents and the president went with a plan to merge the UW colleges into the various four-year campuses. That's the plan that they chose. I served at the pleasure of the president and the board. I supported their decision, and I implemented their decision. But what people don't realize is I had an alternative plan, and I think you'd like me to describe that. Is that correct?
Yeah, and this is a thing that I don't think has ever been told publicly before, because what you just laid out, President Sandin, is something a thoughtful, well-educated, and well-meaning administrator does. They look at the situation, they make a fair and honest assessment, and they say, you know what? Maybe the things that surround us are changing, and guess what? We might have to adapt to that rather than just cut bait and run. So you, as a thoughtful administrator, you actually had a plan. And share with us, the listening audience, what you had but was never allowed to say publicly.
Sure. So we called this UW College's Reimagining. And the idea was one size does not fit all. So as originally conceived, and it was brilliant at the time, that every UW college would provide the same curriculum, the two-year undergraduate general education transfer curriculum. And I don't think that was working necessarily in every campus, so my concept was to be more customized. Some campuses might become educational hubs, where the foundational courses in mathematics and writing, for example, would be delivered in person with that high-touch, high-support model that the colleges were so well known for. But other courses could be offered online, in a lab, with a cohort of students and a coach to help them be successful in that program. So you, yes, unfortunately, would reduce the number of faculty, but you would deliver the curriculum in a quality way, in a different way. That would free up some space in the facilities, and in some communities, we could lease at a very low cost to community-based organizations for other community needs like childcare, adult care, a variety of nonprofits. In Richland Center, for example, I noticed that there was a burgeoning industry in organic and regenerative agriculture in the area. And what if we partnered with UW Extension in Richland County to really lean into that industry and support that in a big way and do that at the Richland Center campus? So
I think that if I could just interrupt for a second, President Sandin, sure. Interrupt. This to me is a brilliant idea because this foundation was gifted literally a farm in Richland County to do whatever it wanted to. There is land that this campus rents out, the county rents out to a local agriculture. And what you're talking about is partnering with the flagship campus at Madison with a renowned ag school and making Richland a symbiotic partner with that.
Precisely. And in addition to this idea of reimagining, and Todd, I want to make it really clear that before we would have done anything, we had outlined a process for community input throughout the state of Wisconsin into this new design before we had, you know, would have made any decisions.
But imagine that, involving the community and asking them what they think. Wow, that's innovative. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but I'm a little spicy today. I apologize.
That's okay. Well, in your industry, in media and journalism, certainly you've gone through changes and have had to adapt as an industry. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through it. You have lived through it. And I did a major reorg with UW Cooperative Extension while I was there. So I was in contact with the county boards, and, you know, we had that relationship going already. But in addition to this concept for, you know, reimagining the UW colleges throughout the state, we also had a new marketing concept. I contracted with a brilliant marketing firm in Madison, Wisconsin called KW2, and together we came up with a concept called UW Here. So instead of marketing the individual brands of the UW colleges, we would market it as an access point to the UW system, which I think resonated with people at the time. Also, we would partner more with UW-Madison, which was the university that had the greatest brand recognition. So we had already launched, Becky Blank, Chancellor at the time, Becky Blank and I launched the Badger Promise program. So high-achieving students at the colleges would have guaranteed admission to Madison and a scholarship. You know, that probably went by the wayside. At UW-Marathon County, we had a collaborative program with Madison. It was a physician assistant program. They were happy to do that. They wanted to serve more of the state directly. This was an opportunity for them to serve the rural areas of the state by providing qualified health care providers. So what if we took that idea and had more UW-Madison programs offered at the UW colleges campuses? So that was another idea that I had come up with while I was there.
And President Sandin, former chancellor of the colleges here in Madison now at California State University East Bay is our guest right now, describing while she was chancellor, this not more than an idea, you actually put this. This was more than a working paper, if I'm correct. This was a well thought out, forward thinking plan for the UW colleges with a professional marketing, with a slogan of UW Here. And I want you to go on the record, if you'd be so kind. Did any of this plan, any of it, involve closing even one two-year campus?
No, absolutely not. I do not believe in that. These campuses are too important to their communities. But we did need to kind of redesign, reimagine what the campuses would do. But no, there was no plan to close any of them.
And I think that's so important that you know, because rumor mills, you know, better than anybody else, the legislature and other places get started. Oh, well, what they really want to do is they want to close a campus. You have a thoughtful, well laid out plan, but this was never given the light of day, correct?
You know, Todd, I did discuss it with my boss, you know, the president of the system, Ray Cross, at the time. But no, I can verify that I never presented to the Board of Regents, for example.
President Sandeen, stay with us. We just have to take a break. Can you stay with us for 2 minutes? And we'll finish up on the other side of the break.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much. Back with this. Back with more on the Todd Arbaugh Show after this. Show of the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here live on location at the Richland campus here in Richland Center. We are talking about the announcement last week of the UW system as well as UW Platteville of the decision, the mandate to close the campus here at Richland Center. We are joined very graciously by Kathy Sandeen, who served as the Chancellor of the Colleges and UW Extension here in Wisconsin from 2014 to 2018. And she is currently the president of Cal State University in East Bay, as we are talking right down the road from where you grew up. Is that correct, President Sandeen?
Absolutely, Todd. So I really have taken all my experience in higher education and brought it home. I literally grew up less than 7 miles from our main campus in Hayward, California. So it's wonderful to be home. And,
so
cool. By the way, it's 50 degrees and sunny here today, and we consider that to be cold.
I have some friends in L.A. and occasionally get, I've been to a couple of Rose Bowls. And yeah, in December when I'm there and it's like, you know, 48 or 50 in the morning, and everybody's freezing. I'm like, where's my shorts? You know, so, but you,
not to
go up on a tangent, but you also were president of University of Alaska Anchorage after leaving Wisconsin. So you just had a fascinating career thus far.
I am very fortunate. I just love to learn about new regions, new industries, new communities, and how I can serve them. And I've been very fortunate. And lessons that I've learned in other places I take with me. You know, for example, here at Cal State East Bay, and we are one of the 23 campuses in the California State University system, I am establishing a partnership with our local county fair, the Alameda County Fair. They want to amplify their education programs and pavilions, and we're going to be their education partner. So, you know, if I had not had my experience in Wisconsin, I might not see that as a real benefit to our campus. So, you know.
Once again, the Wisconsin idea actually leaving the borders of the state and being implemented in part in California. Just another great example of how things at Wisconsin can start and spread, and thanks to great administrators like Kathy Sandeen. President Sandeen, before the break, you were brought up this very important thing that to my knowledge, has never been known before today publicly, and that is why you were Chancellor of the Colleges and Extension. You spent a lot of time looking at and assessing the state of higher ed in Wisconsin, the roles of the colleges, the tier campuses would play, realizing that there was change afoot, and how you could adapt those colleges and have them continue. And to quote you, no college, no two-year would be closed under this plan. You hired a marketing firm, a renowned marketing firm, Madison KW2, came up with a slogan called UW Here. You wanted to implement the ag community in Richland with the farm and with the ag school at UW-Madison to create this relationship and actually increase enrollment. And yet you were never allowed to present this plan.
Well, you know, I did present it to my supervisor, and I guess the plan for the merger was already underway, and the president and the board went in that direction. But yeah, beyond the president of the system, I wasn't able to describe this plan to others. Yeah, that is a true statement.
And I think that's very fortunate, and I understand your role, and you're a diplomat, and you're a professional. Todd, not always so much. Red Cross killed this thing. And I think it is not only unfortunate for the campuses, I think it's an affront to you. As someone I met once, my old boss, Dale Schultz, was leaving before, just as you were coming on board. And I know others in the system. I've done my homework. And you were very well thought of within your colleagues at the system for being a thoughtful administrator and forward-looking. And the fact that you came up with this and did it in a way it was not going to close a campus, and then it was not allowed to be put forth to the regents or involved in the community, I just think it's so sad. And the reason that, you know, as Bob Schieffer from CBS likes to say, I think we just made a little news here because no one's ever known this before. And this puts a whole new context on this. But I think the reason that I wanted to have you on, and I appreciate your time, is that this just goes to show where we are at today never had to happen.
Well, I, you know, like I said, I'm not here to criticize or judge, so I'm going to remain silent on that question.
Well, yeah. No, but I don't need to put you. I'm not trying to put you in an awkward position about making a comment on anyone in particular. I'm just saying whether it was you or other people, I don't think that we ever had to come to this point today because there were alternatives to simply closing down a campus and basically starving it. And I just think that's very, very unfortunate.
Yeah, the community campuses are an important resource. And counties made huge investments throughout the state of Wisconsin to create those campuses. And, of course, the university funded the operation and the academics of the campuses. It was a remarkable partartnership, really brilliant. So
before we let you go, because I know you have a busy day out at Cal State. We appreciate your time. You're being very generous today. But I wanted to get your take on this. You and I talked yesterday, and I think this is because you have such a breadth and depth of knowledge and experience literally across the country in higher education. Talk a little bit about this kind of, and Dorothy Thompson from Richland Center touched on this last hour, this attitude that's being created across the country of opposition to higher education, what you've seen and what you've heard.
Todd, you're absolutely correct. There is a perception across the country that, you know, questioning the value of higher education, questioning debt and affordability, you know, that's a big trend throughout the country. And the facts are that there are huge benefits from higher education. The bachelor's degree really is the stepping stone to economic stability and mobility. Individuals who have earned a bachelor's degree will have higher incomes, on average $1 million over a lifetime, compared with someone who does not have that degree. A bachelor's degree and education attainment is associated with better health outcomes because you have access to health insurance and health care, better wealth accumulation because you have access to retirement and pension plans, less unemployment, shorter periods of unemployment, less addiction, less incarceration, better family outcomes. Literally, everything that's good in life can be associated with education attainment. That's undeniable. So I hope in our country we're able to shift the narrative and remind ourselves of the investments we made, the benefits we received, and we need to continue to do that going forward.
I looked up, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that over your time or around your time, in a two-year period, there was about $200 million in cuts to the UW system, of which the UW campuses were only $6 million part of that. So they could have held harmless the legislature. They could have held harmless the UW colleges. They chose not to. Is that a fair statement?
I'm not sure where the decision was at the system or within the legislature, but it's true. You know, $6 million maybe isn't a lot to the whole system, but to the UW colleges, that represented 20% of the state funding. So that was a huge, huge cut to the UW colleges, and they were already in a precarious financial position.
And so that's the connection, right, between what you're saying about this attitude of continually harping and putting misinformation out about higher education and about academics in general. That creates this feeling of politicians in Wisconsin. We are still controlled in the legislature by Republicans who therefore like to make political hay by cutting the funding for universities. And then it trickles down. And one time when trickle down economics actually worked, it trickles down and the UW colleges get the short end of the stick. And thus you have this lowering of the bar across the table on higher education.
Well, I think that's an accurate assessment. You know, I haven't been in the state for 4 or 5 years now, so I really can't, you know, comment myself, but you're right in it. So, you know, I have to trust what you're saying.
Before we let you go, and again, we appreciate your time, Kathy Sandine, president of Cal State University, East Bay, former chancellor of the UW Colleges and Extension. You just gave me some news yesterday. California is now the fourth largest economy in the world, surpassing Germany. And talk a little bit about what you're seeing with higher education and what's happening in California in your time there.
Well, California early on recognized the benefits of funding its university, just like Wisconsin. You know, so the University of California system are the research universities, the powerhouses, the institutions that tend to create the spin-offs of different industries. If you look at the defense industry, the biotech industry, the technology industry, those really blossomed in California and are a direct, you know, connection with the university system. My system, the California State University system, produces the workforce that fuels those economies. So our state, I believe our taxpayers and our elected officials really do recognize the value of education and higher education as it relates to the economy. And I think they would attribute our success and size of the economy, at least to a certain degree, to investments in education and higher education in the state.
I appreciate you sharing that, because the connection I'm trying to make here is that in Wisconsin, we hear so much from Republicans about job creation and economy. And what you just described happening in California is in part, at least, a large part perhaps, to a good education system creating a good economic situation. And certainly we won't go down that road today. California, like every other state, has its own problems and challenges that the folks there are trying to address. But the fact is, the economy of California is just strictly from a dollar standpoint is now the fourth largest economy in the world. And that should be something that brings us together. And Republicans should love this, that we can create a better economy. People should love the fact that Richland County is now, what, the second or third poorest county in the state of Wisconsin? Wouldn't you want a job engine creator here? I know you don't want to probably comment on that, but the point is that the education and the economies, good economies, are tied together. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I could agree with that from a high level. Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, President Sandine, before we let you get back to a sunny, beautiful California?
Well, I just want to express my gratitude for having been hired, you know, into the University of Wisconsin system. It was a really important part of my life and my career. I'm grateful to the state of Wisconsin for the great people I met, what I learned there. I wish all the best to the people of Richland Center and Richland County, and to you. And thank you, Todd, for your commitment to community radio. It really is remarkable what you're doing there with civic media and your radio station.
That means a lot, President Sandine, because you yourself have a PhD in communications. So we appreciate that very, very much. And really, we owe it to our owner, Sage Weil, and Mike Crute for allowing us to have this opportunity. President Kathy Sandine, former chancellor of the colleges, thank you so very much. You've enlightened all of us. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. That is President Kathy Sandine. I think shed a lot of new light on things that we did not know and proved once again that where we are at today at the Richland campus, the pending closure of this facility never had to happen. And she is being diplomatic. She is an administrator. She is a nice person. Todd is more blunt. Ray Cross killed this plan. Ray Cross, who I know, I haven't talked to him in a few years, but I got to know very well, he turned on this university. And I don't think that Ray Double Cross is a misnomer here. And we can talk more about that when we come back. The fix was in, folks, on this campus from a long time ago. This isn't something that just happened today. And we're going to lay it out for you and talk about what happens next. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Friday morning. Can't we all just get along? Nice job, Aaron. Aaron Zomers, by the way, our producer engineer, is celebrating a birthday. He has broken out Mimosa Friday early. How are they tasting so far, Aaron?
Good. Thanks, Todd, for providing the materials and the glass.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, so we're birthday once a year, right? So, Aaron's got to celebrate a little cake, a little mimosa, and hanging out with friends today. So we appreciate you, Aaron, all you do. This could not have happened, this broadcast today, without you. Also want to thank our colleague, Jason Hafman. Or is it Hafman or Halfman?
It is Hafman.
Yeah, thank you. I barely can remember my own name these days. But Jason Hafman, my office mate, and also he has a great show on Saturdays, Dayton by Local, and also on Friday night, Packer Opinion Show with his brother. He lent me some of his personal equipment and actually helped walk me through some of this stuff yesterday. Otherwise, literally, this broadcast will not be on the air. So thank you for Jason for doing the technical part. And again, to Sage Weil and Mike Crute, our owners, for allowing us to come out and broadcast live from the campus here at Richland Center. Well, that was something. If you missed it, former chancellor of the UW Colleges and Extension, Kathy Sandeen, joined us live from California. She is now the president of Cal State University East Bay. And she laid it out. There was a plan that would have saved every two-year campus, would have adjusted a little bit for today's needs. There was a marketing plan put forth, and it was killed. Dead on arrival, essentially, by her former boss, the president of the system, Ray Cross. My words, that part, not hers, to be clear. But clearly, if you read between the lines, I'm not the brightest bulb on the string, but I can put things together. That is what happened. And I also want to draw a line to connect the dots here as well. Because I may have gotten a little hostile before the break, and sometimes Todd has to calm himself down a bit. So Ray Cross was the president, or the chancellor, of the 2 years when I was working for Dale Schultz at the state capitol, and Dale was the chair of the Senate Higher Education Committee. And so Ray would come in our office a lot and shoot the breeze, and always a very nice guy, was very, at the time, supportive of the colleges. I don't think you can deny that. When he was the chancellor, he did a lot for the colleges, and said that, you know, he was, and then he became president, all right, of the system. And he very vocally and publicly took this stand. I'm going to die on the hill and support the university system. And I'm not going to make such as these budget concessions, or I'll resign. And Scott Walker was the governor. Republicans controlled the legislature. And guess what? Ray folded. And you can blame Ray Cross to a degree. And I do. I'll just say that. That's Todd talking. Nobody else. But I also think you have to connect the dots that Ray Cross would have never folded had the pressure not been put on by Republicans in the legislature and Republican Scott Walker. Because it was essentially, you're going to do this or you're done. We'll find somebody else who will. And so I think that it's important to say, had it not been for the Republican-controlled legislature and Scott Walker, that, again, Ray Cross may have never folded. And we've talked to Dorothy Thompson, talked earlier in this program, as Mayor Todd Copperdall from Richland Center, as County Board Chair Marty Brewer said, as Linda Gentis, a County Board Supervisor who is here with us as well, has said, there has been next to no involvement from State Senator Howard Markline, and very little from Tony Kurtz, the state representative. And this is just so unfortunate. So I just want to make sure that I laid that out, that there were other players involved besides just Ray Cross and bringing us to where we are today.
And I have comment.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. I do hope that after this interview today, which again, if you are just joining us, I highly recommend you go on civicmedia.us and listen to the podcast of the second hour of today's show, because it's a lot to chew on. But I hope that after this, some of the people who have not really wanted to comment on this publicly will change their minds and maybe come on the show. Maybe they can explain,
Right. Oh,
my hands were tied and I tried to slow this down, but I couldn't stop it. Or maybe not, but I hope we can hear some of their side at some point.
Absolutely. I think that's a fair point. And we welcome anybody, Republican, Democrat, elected official, whoever, to come on this show and give us their side. I mean, we have people here that are talking. We want everybody to be involved. We have to take a break at the top of the hour here in August. We have about 6 minutes left before we would do that. Linda Gentis is a county board supervisor. She is the chair of the education committee. Is that the correct title? And she was the international director here at the campus during my time and really was a life changer for me personally. Linda, what are your thoughts after hearing President Sandine and kind of where we are at today?
Well, it was rather enlightening to hear her talk and to know what a kind of a plan, because we do have to change with the times. And I think she was looking forward, and I really appreciated that she came on. I think the biggest thing is, and hopefully after the break we can talk more about it, but in this milieu of anti-education, how such a plan was totally disregarded and not accepted, and that we're having a problem here. And I would like to talk later about the economic impact locally and what Richland could actually do here to make an impact in the state.
Absolutely. We'll come back and explore all the economics of it. Before we go to a break, we'll have a couple of minutes, 2 minutes left. Thank you, Aaron. I just want to talk a little bit before the break.
Okay. I didn't know how much time I had. I would just like to talk about the economic impact to the area from Richland Center. There have been two major economic impact studies. The first one done in 2005 and 2006 by Professor Emma Haney. And that impact, which was, as you realize, quite a while ago, for the dollar has changed quite a bit. There was a $7 million return to the county from the UW-Richland.
$7 million.
And it was tremendous. It was many more faculty here and students and what they do it. Again, another report was done in 2018 and 19. At that time, it was, because we had fewer students, a $6 million impact. But for every dollar that was put into this facility by the county, $205 were returned to the county in economic impact.
And this is the thing I don't get. Got about a minute before the break, Linda. I don't get why, again, even if you're a Republican who has some of these thoughts about higher ed, wouldn't you at least look at the dollars?
Well, there's even more about that. What's totally dumbfounding to me, and John can probably help me with this a little better, is that students at the UW-Richland campus to the state were the least economic cost per student to educate than they were across the state. Why would you take where you're worried about finances, take where it's the least educated, where they're getting highly supported by faculty and staff, and that, and dismantle that when it makes no sense to me.
We got to go to break, but it's a deal at any price. We'll pick it up after the top of the hour. News is next. So you're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.